Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi Full Year 2020 Consolidated Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Garavaglia, Chief Executive Officer of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group's 2020 Full Year Results Conference Call. Today, here in the room with me, we have Marco Cenci, our Chief Strategy and Control Officer, Stefano Biella, our CFO, Fabrizio Micheli, our Director for M&A and Investor Relations, and Samuele Chiudetto, our Investor Relations. First of all, let me start this presentation by thanking all the stakeholders that have enabled De'Longhi to achieve outstanding results in 2020, facing the many challenges that this period has brought into our lives. In effect, the difficult times and unexpected developments that we went through required from all the people an extraordinary flexibility and responsiveness. All our employees all over the world have been showing an extraordinary commitment that supported the group in many ways, witnessing resilience and dedication at all times. The pandemic crisis has put the supply chain during the year and the main distribution channel under heavy stress everywhere in our industry, and we had to work closely with our supplier, with our partners, with our customer and distributors in order to overcome the difficulties. From an industrial point of view, despite the complication and temporary closures encountered by our factories, especially at the beginning of the year, the group has shown great flexibility and resilience, allowing workers to operate safely and being able to deliver our products to the customer. In this regard, our industrial investment plan has continued, and therefore had to expand our production capacity both on our Chinese and European platforms. On the commercial side, the lockdowns have inevitably favored an acceleration of the online world, both as a distribution channel and as a new way to communicate with the end consumers. The action taken as a whole have allowed the group to take advantage of the trends underway in the market, which have shown an increased attention of the consumer toward the domestic environment, favoring purchasing choices toward products related to the home experience. Therefore, these positive trends already in place in the coffee makers and kitchen machine in the first quarter of 2020, therefore before the pandemic, witnessed a substantial acceleration in the following months, with the growth rates higher than what we have initially foreseen. This positive effect found further support from our long-term investment strategy in marketing and communication, as well as in the launch of new products in our core strategies. Now, let's take an overview of the full results of the year before opening then the floor for Q&A. Let me remind you, first of all, that in order to provide the group figures on a like-to-like basis with last year, we may now present also normalized value, which exclude the effects of some changes in accounting treatment of financial contribution and discounts, which have been applied since Q4 of the prior year. Let me also make you notice that consolidated balance sheet as December 31st, 2020, includes the consolidation of Capital Brands Holdings, whose acquisition was finalized on the 29th of December 2020. Looking at the full year, revenues were up by 12.4% at the normalized level, which means 14.3% on an organic base, sustained by a strong fourth quarter up 10.1% normalized and 13.6% organic. In the last 12 months, all the core product segments of the group grew, supported by the strong trend envisaged by the home appliances and by the investment of the De'Longhi Group in brand communication, product innovation, and digital strategy over the last 2 years. The coffee segment achieved a double-digit growth, driven by the expansion of the full automatic and manual machine. Cooking and food preparation was back to growth in the 12 months, thanks to the remarkable developments of the Kenwood kitchen machines. We also recorded a positive performance for the rest of the business, in particular with a significant expansion of the mobile air conditioning and floor care products. Looking at the geographies at the normalized level, all the macro regions witnessed a positive trend in revenues, with the only exception of the Middle East MEA region. Southwest Europe grew by 17.4%, driven by double-digit performance of Germany, France, Switzerland, Spain, and Portugal. Double-digit growth also for the Northeast Europe, supported by the very important development in the UK, Russia, Ukraine, and CIS countries, Scandinavia, and including also Finland. The Asia-Pacific Americas region, our upper region, posted a double-digit growth expansion with a particular strong performance in China, Australia, and New Zealand, and with an important growth also in Japan, Korea, and North America. Lastly, as I mentioned before, Middle East region, our major region, was in a negative territory in a year, although with a partial recovery in organic terms in the last 2 quarters. With regard to the profitability over the 12 months in normalized terms, the net industrial margin improved from 47.3% to 49.6% with a growth of 18%, thanks mainly to higher volume and the positive contribution of the price mix effect. Adjusted EBITDA amounted to 383.3 million, so with an increase of 27.6%, with a significant improvement as marginal revenues from 14.3% to 16.2%, despite greater investment in marketing and communication, which reached an incidence on revenue at 12.4% compared to an 11.7% in 2019. Finally, the net profit amounted to 200.1 million, equal to 8.5% of revenues and up by 24.3%. The third quarter witnessed a similar strong progression in both the net industrial margin, 49.6% of the revenue, and adjusted EBITDA, 18% of the revenue, confirming the traditional relevance of the last quarter of the year in the generation of the annual margins. As to the balance sheet, the net financial position at December 31st, 2020, landed at 232 million, including the financial effect of the acquisition of Capital Brands that amounted to 329.3 million. However, excluding the acquisition of Capital Brands and the payment of dividends for 80.8 million, the cash position improved by 364.3 million, even after the investment in the year for industrial investment year for 89.5 million. With regard to the net working capital, the closing value was significantly improved thanks to the reduction of trade receivable and an increase in trade payable following acceleration in purchases in the last quarter. With inventory substantially under control, the ratio of the net working capital to the 12 months revenue was down to an exceptional value of 4.1%. If we exclude the capital brands, we are 3.9%, delivering a marked reduction from 15.2% at the end of 2019. Closing my introduction and before the Q&A, let me say that the 12 months of 2021 will be equally challenging on several fronts due to the still unstable macroeconomic scenario and to the business complexity brought in by this volatile environment. Despite such circumstances, the group will continue in pursuing the path of increasing investment in brand communication and in new product launching, strengthening also our digital strategy with further investment. Moreover, the company will enforce the organization and commercial structure in support of product innovation and sustainable medium-term growth. Having said that, the positive underlying trends in our core category are still in shape and we sustain a positive performance of the group in the coming quarters. Based on the strong evidence provided by the first week of 2021, we estimate the growth in sales on a like-for-like basis in the first quarter at around 50%, which leads us to raise the previous guidance and for this reason to estimate the organic growth of revenues for 2021, including capital brands, in the range of 22 to 26%, while in on a like-for-like basis between 12 and 15%. This important growth, together with the support of the price mix, will be essential to fund our increasing investment aimed at sustainable growth in the medium term, at the same time allowing us to achieve an adjusted reported EBITDA for the new perimeter substantially in line with the 2020 as a percentage on revenues. And now I will open the floor to the Q&A session. Thank you very much for the time being.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove your question, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question is from Niccolo Storer of Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. I have two questions. The first one relates to your guidance. And so first on revenues, if you can comment on the countries or categories which are doing better or which have been doing better during this first part of 2021 compared to the trend seen in the last part of 2020. And on EBITDA, if you can help us understanding a kind of bridge versus 2020, because clearly with such an improvement in turnover, one could probably expect something more than stability at margin level. My second question is on working capital. You mentioned a strong improvement due to reduction in receivables and increase in payables, and I was wondering what should we expect going forward. Is something that will normalize or do you expect to remain at such a low level? Thank you.
Yeah, Nicolò, thank you very much for the question. For this first part of 2021, I have to say that we have seen progressively the orders and coming in as of January, but we had more visibility during the month of February on this acceleration. And I have to say that this is spread across basically all our categories, especially where we are focusing our attention. I would have to say what we consider to be our core categories being the coffee and all the segment of the coffee, and the food and the food preparation in the different segment being with Kenwood, with the Kenwood brand and Braun. Talking about that will include also, sorry, just maybe to complete, is including also the acceleration on the new product launches that we made in at the end of 2020. And we are very happy to see that they encounter the favor of our customer. At the same time, in terms of geography, is also there. I can say that it's spread across the world. Very happy to see that. I mentioned it before. Also in Middle East, that is an interesting market for us. We had were suffering also because of the political situation in 2020. Oil prices very low, but now we have seen a return to growth at the end of the last year, and now definitely an acceleration in this first part of 2021. Core countries for us being in Western Europe are doing very well, and very happy to see that also our focus on China, Asia, and U.S. Is starting to give very positive results. When we talk about the EBITDA, we have to take in consideration several things. Some of them maybe they are a bit more interesting for us. A bit more clear for us. Some others that will have still to be, well evaluated in the course of the year. That's why we put a range in that direction. For sure, we believe that we will have a positive volume effect. For sure, we believe that we will have a very probably positive price mix effect, also thanks to the launches of the new product, to the development of the growing category of coffee and food. But at the same time, as I mentioned already in the past and also in my introduction, we plan to invest. We plan to invest in reinforcing our organization and structure, including commercial structure around the world. We plan to reinforce our digital infrastructure, and also we are, as a part of a medium long-term plan, we plan to continue to invest in AP, and we believe we have a very strong brand that are reacting very well to the spend in AP. We did it last year, we are continuing to do it now, and we are seeing the results of that, and we believe that on the medium long run it will be a very we will have a very important benefit out of that. We are having a lot of activities, and we are considering also new activities in the area of the communication and brand communication, and some of them are visible now, some others will come in the course of the year. So this is a bit how we structured. Obviously, as you can imagine, today is extremely difficult with the visibility that we have to have a good understanding on on the bottom line for the next months. But you know, several things we know that will be positive. Some others obviously are related to investment that I mentioned. At the same time, there will be some additional cost that we will have to manage in the course of the year. Some of them we already know how to manage it. Talking, for example, about the ocean freights from China, we have already planned the price increase that is going to be operational soon to cover that part. Some inflation and tension on the raw material prices, we are looking forward, we will assess it better. We have some ideas on how we can offset that in a certain range, considering also the significant increase in the efficiency of our plant thanks to the volume effect. Talking to the working capital, yeah, you mentioned the significant increase that we had. For sure, one effect you highlighted is very strong control of our payment term and condition, and we want to continue to do that in the course of the year. A very good management of the condition with all our supplier base. Increase, I have to say, especially in the first quarter, there were increased purchases from the supplier as a component. Some better rotation also of our inventory, definitely. Overall, I have to say that the company has been put in place a very strict monitoring of our working capital in all its components, and I can tell you that I would like that we maintain the same focus, the same attention, while on the inventory, I want to make sure that we handle well considering obviously the financial part of that, but at the same time, my message is that we need also to make sure that we manage that, having in mind that we want to further increase the level of service to all our customers. Anyhow, working capital remains for us a very important focus. We have the right tools in place to track very well all the different components. We have been investing on that, and we have the right structure in place to monitor it. We brought it to a much lower level, but again, I want to make sure that we are not obsessed by certain things, especially on the inventory side. It has to be a good balance between maintaining high rotation, maintaining a low inventory, but also never forgetting that we need to provide the best possible service to our customer. I hope I answered. Sorry to be a bit long, but I hope I answered to your questions.
No, thank you. Thank you. Maybe a very quick follow-up on receivable. I was wondering if you increased the level of factoring, which, if I'm not wrong, at the end of last year was in the 160 million region.
No, we didn't. So we kept exactly the same level of last year. But at the same time, we have been stricter on terms, on adherence of the customer to the payment term that we have contracted. And was very happy to see that and the discipline that we had and that our team had in managing that. I trust that we will continue to do that in the course of 2021. But we have not increased the level of factoring in 2020.
Thank you.
The next question is from Nicolas Langlet of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions, please. The first one on Capital Brands. What has been the trend in Q4, and what have you seen since the beginning of the year for that asset? And what are the next steps in terms of integration? And when do you expect to see the first synergies or collaboration between Capital Brands and De'Longhi? Second question on A&P. Can you tell us what was the level of A&P as percentage of sales in 2020? And looking forward, do you think you have now the optimal level of spending, or you could potentially increase even more as percentage of sales, the A&P going forward? And finally, in terms of production, so you had this very strong performance in the last 9 months. Do you think you have now sufficient inventories and production capacity to match the consumer demand in the coming months? And also, should you expect any extra CapEx in the coming quarters or years, given the strength of the business recently? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Nicholas, for the question. On Capital Brands, obviously very fresh. The company has been performing nicely last year, also in the last quarter, in the last year, especially in the geographies where they are strong and market leader, being U.S., Australia, and U.K. We have now, since they are with us, we have seen that their growth is continuing. Now, obviously, I want to be a bit prudent on commenting because they've been just integrated, consolidated with our company. But we are putting together now some plans that will, in a way, exploit mainly commercial synergies. Very easy to understand. They have a presence that is, at the moment, strong but limited to some geographies, as I mentioned, in U.S., North America, Australia, and U.K. But I believe that there is a leverage with the commercial presence of De'Longhi in all the rest of the world that we have to exploit. We are preparing a plan, not rushing, because I would like that there is a smooth transition into our group. And therefore, I think that this plan will be finalized in the first semester of this year. And we will start the execution afterwards, so that they have the opportunity to enter into the group, to start to understand a bit the way of working. That is obviously very different than the way in which they were working with the previous owner. Therefore, the geographical expansion is, for Capital Brands, a big opportunity. We are at the same time considering opportunities to leverage on the De'Longhi product expertise, and this is something that I will put in a calendar for the end of this year, and eventually to be then deployed in the course of 2020. So maybe not to I would like to stress the fact that it's a bit also our style, the style of De'Longhi. We want to have the company well established, well integrated in our way of thinking, our culture, and progressively then prepare expansion plan. For what is concerning the A&P, the 2020 reach 12.4%, and the ambition, just to answer to your question, we believe that our brands are very strong. We believe that De'Longhi, especially in the area of coffee, especially in some geography, but more in more and more geographies in all the segment of the coffee. And Kenwood for the specific segment in the food preparation, and Braun definitely for as a mass producer in a larger number of categories, are very strong brands that they deserve a good support in communication, being traditional media, being more and more social and digital marketing. As you could see, we have significantly increased the support to our brands, and they are responding very well. And we see that the consumer are really responding very well, also in the online world. Last year, our EP represented 12.4% of our revenues. The plan for this year is to increase it further. I think we aim at increasing to of another percentage point, probably around to go to around 13.4% in that area. But anyhow, let's say an additional percentage point with a clear focus, obviously, on the core category that they are responding very nicely, and obviously with a lot of focus on the digital and digital part. If we look at the your question about the inventory, about having enough products, you know that De'Longhi made a very strategic choice a long time ago to have an important manufacturing network, state-of-the-art plants with continuous investment to improve our efficiency and to manufacture a lot of the product that we are selling. Just to put a bit in perspective, we have been investing only in our industrial network 89 million in 2020. Compared to 76 million that were invested in 2019. Also this year, we are investing further in our plants to expand our capacity. There are investments ongoing or already decided to expand our plant in China, and to expand our plant in Romania and in Italy. So this is all ongoing. Will happen. This expansion of capacity will happen in 2021 and also in 2022, and will be focused on the main category of the group. At the same time, talking about investment, that is not industrial, but I would like to mention because it's very relevant for us, since De'Longhi is not only manufacturing all the most of the product that we are selling, but also designing and developing all the products that we are selling, we had we've been nearly finalized and concluded an important investment to a new innovation center here in our headquarters in Italy, with new technology for new product development, for the new product development area, that we believe will be very instrumental to give us even more support to our R&D and product development part. So, this is about the investment. So, to make maybe in short this comment, we have a plan of expanding capacity. We have realized that the capacity expansion in 2020, this is very important to mention. So we have been keeping our investment plan we have executed here in 2020, despite all the difficult situation ongoing. We decided not to slow down in the investment, and we believe that this is one of the reasons, not the only, but one of the reasons why we are now seeing a nice development of the business.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot. Maybe just one clarification on CapEx. So do you expect the CapEx in 21 to be fairly in line with 2020, at around 90 million euros?
For this year, the total investment in euros will be in line with what we have seen in 2020. Will be just probably the mix of the investment will be slightly different because there will be more investment that are going to the new lines and on the production network. And we will not have, for example, this important investment that we made this year in the innovation center, the expansion of the office and innovation center here in Italy. So to answer to your question, same level of CapEx, but focused on expansion and new lines and new technologies in the plants.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. Very clear.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicolas.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about other food categories in 2020, probably were down year on year. I don't have the perfect figures, but consider that kitchen machines were up importantly, probably other food categories were down. I would like to better understand why. And actually, what is your outlook for 2021, just to understand the category excluding kitchen machines. My second question is about your statement of plus 50% like-for-like growth in the first quarter. I would like to understand if this trend is following sell-out there are clients that are restocking. So just to understand this point, my third question is about price hikes. I would like to understand if you are executing price hikes, what kind of price environment you expect for this year. And finally, my last question is about your guidance for the full year in terms of top line. Seems very strong, 12 plus 15%, so very strong. So I would like to better understand what kind of internal drivers you have in order to offset partially some tough comps in the third, fourth quarter. So just to understand if you have new products, new geographies to offset this kind of tough comparison that probably you could have in the second half of this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. Talking about the food categories, as you mentioned correctly, kitchen machine, Kenwood, the zero of Kenwood that we believe, on which we believe we have definitely a competitive advantage, was up, was significantly up. The same time also was basically under Kenwood, all the food processor part that is a very interesting business was also up. Some other category, including minor category for us, including toaster and so on, have been increasing. But anyhow, let's say that the bulk, what is for us very core, kitchen machine, food processor, were performing really very nicely. Now I'm talking about the long term, excluding obviously Capital Brand that has been performing very well with their personal blenders and blenders. Other area were a bit down. For instance, I see here fryers, water kettle, flattish or a bit softer. I have to say that this is an area where we would like to work more in the future, but is an area that today is represented for the long rather limited, limited business. So overall, if I may say, our products in the food space have been performing nicely, also thanks to our new product launches. I would like to remind that we didn't slow down our plan on launches despite what happened in 2020. Really, our teams were fantastic in making sure that the product were launched as planned, and we have seen a very strong response of the customer to that. Talking about the 50% guidance that we gave, as I said, where we got more evidence in as of the month of February and so on, so we conclude that we believe that we will be able to deliver that. Maybe I would like to put it a bit in perspective. First of all, that is probably what you're asking me. First of all, we have seen a growth in the fourth quarter of 2020. And at the same time, we have seen a good sell-out in that quarter. It could be also that obviously there has been some phasing of customers that have been moving some quantities in general and so on, but one important thing is that there was a good sell-out in the quarter, so our major partners and customers, they've been you know, asking for new stock to restart then in 2021. This sell-out has been definitely supported by our communication plan. We have seen a good reaction and elasticity positive in this case to the investment that we have been made, I was mentioning before. At the same time, for sure, we have seen and we will see in this first first quarter geographies that are picking up strongly and accelerating, also thanks to an additional focus that we have been putting commercially. So there is an effect in the quarter coming also from geographies that are picking up and are starting to grow nicely. And then I would like to mention also the fact that there is an underlying trend of growth for sure for the coffee that is coming from not from last year but even from the past year that is keeping this this momentum and where we have been reinforcing it through launches in the different segments and where we have a very strong pipeline of launches also for 2021. So it's a mix of different things. We have to recognize, obviously, that you know there could be also some phasing between the quarter. I will not be, you know, unhappy with that. I think it's business as usual. But definitely, several of our actions that we have been putting in place let me understand that also this start will bring us to what you mentioned before, that is our yearly guidance of 12-15%. As you know, not easy, obviously, to give a guidance because market remains very volatile. But we believe that the plan that we have in place, what we have seen now at the beginning of the year, the pipeline and our investment in communication should bring us in that direction. Then, you know, the growth path per quarter can be different, but we are here in a long-term play, and you know we believe that targeting the 12-15% will be, after the big increase of last year, will be a beautiful development for our business. Going to the prices, we have we believe that there is overall an industry problem in the sense that when we talk about ocean freight, sharp increase of the ocean freight from China on the route US and Europe is yeah something that is affecting any players in the market, and we took a very quick action to adjust our prices, and I think there was a very good understanding from everybody that had to be done because it's just an additional cost coming from the ocean from the ocean freight, while some other potential effect coming from the raw material components cost. We believe also considering our sourcing network and our manufacturing platform, we believe that we will have to well assess it now in the next month. At the moment, we are in a good position. We are gaining a lot of efficiency in our plant that are offsetting some of these additional costs. But we remain very careful looking at that part, and we believe that we have the right action in place to manage that.
Okay, thank you. So just a follow-up on your point. So basically, when you guide about 12-15% organic growth, it seems to me, if I understood correctly, that, a big chunk of this growth is based on your specific actions in terms of communication, in terms of new markets or better penetration. So you are expecting to overperform the market considering this kind of action, so internal action. It's correct, my opinion about this?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But look, we start from, looking at the market evolution, and we see a market overall for SDA that is performing nicely. I have to say that the De'Longhi, for choices made in the past, has been put in the, I would say it, in the right strategic space. So we are playing two categories that we believe are strategically very well placed. Having said that, this growth means that through our actions we will be able to perform better than the market. We believe that the brands that we have are very strong, and the combination brand products is very strong, and therefore they deserve to be very well supported through communication activities. The proportion start to take more importance in the digital world. All these concerns starting from our position today, relative position, competitive position in the core market where we are playing in this year, in 2021, should allow us to do better than the market. Also, thank, and you mentioned it, to possibly a geographical expansion in some areas where we are putting now more focus than in the past, and that they are starting to give nice results.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, sir. The next question is from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. My question has already been answered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrea.
The next question is from Lorenzo Margiotta of Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, my question is actually also kind of an ask, but I'll ask it another way. In the first quarter, obviously 50% is very good. Can you just give us an idea how much of that is, you think, industry tailwinds and the overall market versus how much you think you've taken share, especially, especially within coffee, who you're taking share from?
Yeah. No. Thank you, Lorenzo, for the question. We need to make now a bit an assessment, because obviously we will be able to have a bit more evidence of the share when we will look at the sellout data, because that's the way in which we are looking at the market share. What we can see at the moment, because of the size, obviously, of this increase, is that, we have a better penetration, and we are gaining space and share in the competitive environment. Of course, the market is, at the same time, the market is growing. So this is about, probably not at the same speed. So what we get as a feedback, also talking to our customer, is that we are getting more share space in a certain way. I cannot judge, obviously, from the competition. Obviously, we monitor them. We don't know exactly, you know, the way in which they are the moment in which they are the moment place. If there are difficulties of other nature and so on, we don't know. We are very focused on what we want to do, and I believe that also thanks to the investment plan that we didn't touch, what we have been executing in the last minute and in the last year in 2020, we are seeing some benefit of that choices and the benefit of that strategy. And therefore, you know, the growth that we are experiencing now is a combination from the market, but also from an additional accelerated pace from the long year.
Yep, that's really clear. Well done on a good quarter, guys, or good set of results. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ryan.
The next question is from Francesco Brilli of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the guidance. I see making some calculations. Taking into account the organic growth at the midpoint of the range, it seems like the remaining part of the 2021, excluding the first quarter, which is growing 50%, is enjoying a single digit growth or very a slowdown compared to the first quarter. I was just wondering if this is due just for tough comparison basis, if we had to some other factors to take into consideration for this cautious forecast for the outer quarter of the year. And then the second one is on the guidance on EBITDA. I was listening to the previous questions and I got it, but I wanted to know if there is some components from the online channel which is getting more and more important, I guess, for the business. Some component just mitigating the upside on the EBITDA, and just the last one is the guidance considering also the potential consolidation of the Eversys turnover that you could have during this year. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Maybe on the guidance. Obviously, you know, we see that we have a strong growth. At the same time, and we see that we have put the basis on what we believe will be a growing pattern in the rest of the year. At the same time, and it's not to be cautious, but at the same time, we see a macroeconomic scenario that remains extremely complex and volatile that we need to factor in somewhere. And and also, you correctly mentioned it, a comp base in especially in the second part of the year that needs to be taken in consideration and factored in. At the same time, I have to say that we are in on protecting our results also in terms of profitability, and therefore, you know, we will have also to factor in this play that we have to make on the pricing side, wherever is needed to, you know, adjust for the extra cost. I made the example of the freight cost. So all these together is giving us a very, let's say, positive in our opinion view for the future. But also taking in consideration that the pattern among the quarters will be different. And also there will be scenarios that today are not so easy to be understood and analyzed. So in my opinion, in the next months we will have a bit more clarity on other things. Where I can reassure you, we have a medium-term view of our business, we have a plan. We believe it's a strong plan made of communication, investment on the brand, digital investment on the digital and so on, that we want to execute in a very disciplined way in the course of the year, and hopefully will bring us to the numbers that we just gave you, considering that that will be on top of the very strong organic growth that we already had the last year. On the online channel here, we have investment there to expand our presence, to do better the work that we do on social media, on the digital. We are investing in reinforcing the structure in our digital marketing. So there is some cost that are going to be absorbed by that. At the same time, we see that there is a very good return and there is definitely an acceleration on that side that could contribute this year, but also looking at the medium term, our investment that will have a very good return. And when I say online, I mean online with the pure online retailer, but also with all our traditional customers. And now they open up all digital and e-commerce platform, and with whom we are collaborating very closely. For the final question about Eversys, the answer is no. This is not taken in consideration Eversys. As you know, and we disclosed to the market, we have there is a put call option in place by June 2021. And we are still at the moment at this stage. As soon as we will have more information, obviously, we will give you evidence of that. But for the time being, it's not included in our guidance.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. The first one is on your outlook for food preparation. 2020 results have been impressive. 2021 results are likely, I guess, to be as strong as 2020. So I was wondering, do you see like this segment is at the beginning of a new cycle, such as the growth cycle we have seen at the beginning of the last decade, or you feel like this exceptional growth is being mainly driven by the temporary COVID restrictions? Second question is on your capital allocation strategy. You have been generating a ton of cash this year. Again, 2021 will probably follow the same pattern. Which are, in your view, the best ways to redeploy this cash generation? I'm wondering mainly organic developments rather than inorganic investments. And the last question is on net working capital, given the huge work done now, where do you feel net working capital on sales can stand on a long-term basis in terms of a sustainable incidence on your turnover?
No, thank you for the question. Talking about the food preparation, obviously, I can answer in this way. For us, it's a core category. And I believe, I personally believe, we all believe that De'Longhi has a competitive advantage in some of the segments. And we believe that we can do even more in the future to capitalize on that know-how and competencies that have been developed by the group, being manufacturer of products, designer, developer, and manufacturer of his own product. We see a strong response from the customer to our product, also to our new launches. We see that also the online customer responding very well. Obviously, what I can tell you, you mentioned it, 2020, US, we have seen it, 2021 started well. Will be also up to us to make sure, and that's why I always talk about new product, innovation, communication, to maintain what we believe is a trend. Food, in general, is a worldwide trend that is very interesting. It's a beautiful place to be. Food preparation is also a very nice place to be. And, yeah, we want to invest further to maintain the leadership in the segments where we are leader, and to maintain the momentum and the growth also in the future will be part, is clearly part of our long-term strategy. For the capital allocation, you mentioned it, we have given today a bit of clarity, even if it's a small part, a bit of clarity on what will be the remuneration of our shareholder in terms of dividend policy. So I hope it is appreciated, because we show some consistency in the way in which we are using some of the hopefully cash that we continue to generate. Part of that will have to be used to sustain the growth, because we have investment ongoing, and we believe a lot in our brands and in our products, so we want to play the game of the organic growth. At the same time, I have to say De'Longhi is always in a position to look outside without hurry, always in a very selective way. If there will be opportunity that will fit well with our strategic view of the future, we can also consider other alternatives to extend through external goals. So this is a bit, an area in which, we want to allocate our capital. And as you know, De'Longhi is a company that is always focused, and as you can see it now, we're always focused on growth. There will be opportunity that makes sense. We will consider that. Talking about the working capital, there is a lot of work that we are doing. We made a lot of investment also in systems and tools to monitor better this area. I personally believe it's very, very important. We had a very strong achievement this year. I don't want to say that we need to be obsessed to that, but we need to be very focused in maintaining the level that we have received in that area, let's say, making sure, and I'm talking mainly about inventory, that that will not be jeopardizing the level of service to our customer. This is very clear, so it's not a trade-off. The service to our customer for the long-term play is very, very important, and therefore we need to have adequate level of inventory to make sure that we reach the target of service that we have put in our targets and that are in the targets of all the management of De'Longhi. For what is concerned the rest of the working capital, there is a lot of attention both to the payment term, as I said, both on managing well our supplier, and therefore, if I can make a prediction, will be that we will continue to try to be in the area of the big achievement that we made this year, obviously taking consideration that we will need to support the growth.
Okay, thanks. Just a brief follow-up. You mentioned, let's say, the ambition to remain close to the achievement of this year. If I look at networking capital on sales, you stand at 4% this year. Maybe it would be a remarkable achievement, but maybe it is too distant from your average level of 15%. Just wondering whether we should imagine De'Longhi remaining more in the region of 10% networking capital on sales or 15% going forward.
Yeah, your point is good. As I said, you know, to me it should not be an obsession, because we want to grow, so we want to build our inventory, we want to be all our things. Obviously, if you are growing also, you need to manage the payment terms and so on. I believe that if I look at the numbers today, we are in the other 4 or 5%, you know, all what is in our plan, assuming that obviously we will continue our growth that is below the 10%, I think is a very good achievement. It should not be an obsession, it should be to be well managed, because also we know that obviously is helping to for us to generate cash, to free cash that we can invest further. So this is the way in which I do it. And why do I say that? Because I don't want that we do it impacting our customers. So especially when I talk about inventory, there I want to have the right level of inventory to give the best possible service to our customers. So we need to work a lot on the rotation of the inventory, something that we are doing. So my promise is that there will be a 100% focus on managing the net working capital in all its components. At the same time, you know, if I can give you an indication, if you can help, in my view, considering the level of growth that we are seeking, whatever will be below the 10% will be, I would consider that a very good achievement for our group.
Okay, very clear. Many thanks and congratulations for the outstanding results.
The next question is from Luca Baccocoli of Intesa San Paolo. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. So the first question is on the online channel. I was wondering if you can give us an idea of the growth delivered last year and what is the weighting to the overall turnover at year end 20. And if the strong growth of this channel has any correlation with the strong improvement we have seen the net working capital level together with the better control, better monitor of the key elements that you were mentioning before. And the other question is related to the tax rate. We saw some improvement in 2020, and I was wondering if you think this is a sustainable tax rate level. And finally, just a very simple clarification on the EBITDA guidance. What is the starting point for the 2021 EBITDA guidance? Is the normalized EBITDA margin or is the reported EBITDA margin, just to be sure about that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. On the I'm just now, just to be sure, checking the numbers on the online sales. If I look at the online, pure online retail and e-commerce, the growth on 2020 has been above the 20% versus the year before. We already had a good presence in the online, but we've been increasing more than 20% versus the year before. And for what is concerning the other question that you mentioned about the impact that the online had on the networking capital, I would tend to say yeah, in the sense that we have the different supply chain, obviously, on that, and in a certain way, we can get from that also a positive impact from that. Now, to quantify, not easy, but on the effect on the supply chain and the rotation of the inventory related to that, it can have also positive impact. For what is concerning the tax rate, we are in the surrounding of 25%. and that will remain we remain in the range also for this year 21. So the range that we have seen will not be very different in 21. For the EBITDA guidance, no, the EBITDA is at reported level, and obviously include the full consolidation of Capital Bank, because we'll be consolidated, then you will see it also when we release the first quarter, we'll be totally consolidated in the De'Longhi group, as it has been, the acquisition has been finalized the 29th of December of last year.
Okay, thank you very much, and congratulations for the strong results.
Thank you, you're welcome. Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita Follow-Up. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Just a very quick follow-up on... So I would like to understand if this kind of growth in the online, so the online chunk of total distribution is growing importantly. So do you think that actually this kind of qualification of online is opening up new customers? So, okay, that happened with the SEB, for instance, support in China. So the fact that through the booming of online, so new people can buy, I mean, your products. So it's something that you think that this kind of online higher penetration can actually allow to your products to be, I mean, bought by more people actually in the future, in new markets, of course, so emerging markets in particular. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe a comment on that. We obviously see, as valid also for other categories, a strong development of the online, not only in terms of quantity, volume, business, and revenues and so on, but also we see a market that is, opening up in several different channels. For what we are concerned, for example, we have activities to support our big online retailer. Names that you know, and I will not enter in comment if there will be new players coming in, but you know probably better than me what is happening in this world, and who are the biggest players that are operating that. At the same time, we see that there is a space also for property e-commerce, and we have been renewing in a record time all our De'Longhi, Brown and Kenwood website in order to be more compelling to the end user. And we see, I mentioned it before, an important growth also partnering with our traditional customers that are developing their online as a new channel for them, as a new channel of distribution. So first, the online is different things, so I would not say probably this is new customer, but in another way, there are new customers, because if you talk about all our traditional customers that are moving now to click and mortar and expanding a lot their online platform, yeah, there are new kind of distribution. At the same time, it's opening up to a lot of our opportunity. That's what I was mentioning about our digital investment and digital strategy and so on. That allow us to, reach more consumers through the online. That obviously offer, much more visibility for the consumer. But that can be reached in many different ways. Therefore, we have a strong plan on the online. And if I may, the investment that they're doing on the AP are also to support the development of this new distribution platform. So where the recognition of the brand, the awareness is very relevant, and the awareness of the combination brand product is very important. And therefore, the things are the relation between the things that we are doing between the products mix, the communication plan, and the distribution channel that are going more and more toward the digital online platforms.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question is from Fraser Donlong of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Two questions from me. So the first, just on the margin guidance. Do you feel like this is a little bit conservative, or is that just a very fair estimate in terms of keeping the margin at the same level in 2021? Just because, I guess, as I think of it, you might have a little bit of operating leverage in the business, not a lot. You give about 1 point of margin in A&P, and so far it sounds like you're managing to pass through these kind of inflationary inputs in China and places like this. So I wondered if there could be a little bit of upside to the margin. And the second question, just on A&P, obviously, I think it makes perfect sense to invest quite heavily in A&P this year, 13.5% of sales. But should we consider that in future years, as the market kind of normalizes a little bit, that could be the level, that's the 13.5% level, let's say, or should we kind of see this move back towards, say, 13% and the level of 2020 in the midterm? Thank you.
No, thank you for the question. No, on the margin guidance, I would tend to say, for what we are seeing today, and of course there are opportunities that we see, but also clearly headwinds that we will have to face. I tend to believe that is not cautious guidance. For sure, is not conservative. For what we are seeing today, because there are clear challenges ahead of us. As I told you also before, we have several investments going on, some of them that we have deliberately chosen to do to support our medium long-term plan. Not only A&P, but also investment in the organization, in commercial structure in the different parts of the world. Geographical expansion is one of our growth pillars, so we require investment. We are very determined to do it. And then, obviously, you mentioned there will be some inflation components that we will have to offset. We are very committed to offset, but that will require a lot of attention. So in that sense, I believe that the guidance that we have given, obviously considering what we are seeing today, is not at all a conservative guidance. For what is concerning the AP, I mentioned the 12.4% becoming 13.4%. My view is in the next 2 years we will maintain a well sustained investment plan. That's what we have in front of us. That's what we are planning. That's what we are starting now to plan also in details for 2022. When we will have more information in the next month, so we will provide you this information. Because also we have for the next 24 months a very strong product pipeline with launches in different geographies that they need to be supported, and we believe that we can get some very good return out of that. If I have to look in the future, after these years, I can give you more a declaration in principle. I believe that De'Longhi has very strong brands. I believe that the online will continue to grow, and we require that our brand awareness is always remain a clear focus for us, and we deserve obviously to have allocated the necessary results. Obviously, we will have to consider then the situation in the future, adjust, and eventually review. But, as a matter of fact, we are very convinced that digital marketing represents a big opportunity. investment on the brands to increase the awareness, not only here in Europe, but also in other parts of the world, is definitely an opportunity on which we can build future growth for our business. So, and again, I will not now mention the next couple of years what will be exactly the percentage that we'll have. We will come back on that in due time. But, you know, our strategy, I think, is foreseeing the communication, digital marketing, definitely as an integrated part of what we want to do in the future.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Mr. Garavaglia, there are no more questions registered, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all. Thank you for attending to the call. And we will talk soon in the near future. Thank you very much again.